Oh my goodness, it's another Friday afternoon, everybody. Lucky you. Lucky me. Welcome to Express Yourself, your weekly update each Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. with the latest and greatest on all the creative happenings up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. I'm your host this week, Brian Colley, and I work with the Carbondale Creative District. And happy First Friday! There is just so much going on tonight up and down Main Street here in town, celebrating the Family Block Party and Pride Parade. And I'm going to give you a little rundown of the schedule this evening in case you want to get out there and express yourself. Starting right now, 4 o'clock over at 4th Street in front of the launch pad, the Carbondale Arts Rosie Bell Mobile Maker Bus hosts a live printing of the Pride poster design with Rena Katzenberger of the Project Shop for anyone to create and customize their own Pride poster. That's a free event right now at the launch pad outside. Then at 5:15, coming up just in over an hour, head on over from there with your Pride poster to the intersection of 2nd and Main Street. That's right here by Katie and Kay. And get ready for the Pride Parade, which begins at 5:30. Everyone is welcome to walk in the parade, and that includes you and your husband, your wife, your partner, your spouse, your significant other, your sons, your daughters, your moms and dads. Get on out there and walk in the parade. It's such a special time. It's only the second year we've been doing this, and it was all started by kids at the local school. So admission is free for everything. There's something happening at 4th Street Plaza. A little something. There's actually a lot of stuff happening over at 4th Street Plaza in Maine. Look for Arts and Crafts by Handmakery, Beer and Spirit Garden, Silent Auction, foods and vendors, and on-site, including Slow Groovin' Food Truck. There's a $10 suggested donation, but everyone's encouraged to also bring a non-perishable item to support Lift Up. And most importantly, there is the 100% of all proceeds go right back into our community and benefit Carbondale's youth and family programming and organizations, Valley Youth Recreation Programs and Care. There's just so much to get excited about with tonight's First Friday. And here is a little bit of what's in store for the show today. We'll have a live interview with some of the artists involved with the Community Mural Project in the Creative District. Then we'll get a sneak peek at the 25th Annual Redstone Labor Day Art Show, which kicks off tonight, carries on through Monday with free demonstrations and workshops for everyone. And after that, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, I've got an interview with Valley Noon. She is an installation artist. I think she's a Valley native, folks. And she's got a solo show tonight called The Balance, opening at the Art Base, downtown Basalt, from 5 to 7. And here is our interview.
My name is Valley Noon, and I have a piece going up right now as we speak at the Art Base. It's called The Balance, and it is mostly comprised of, I think, about 70 small sections of 2x4s. I cut up 2x4s into about 6-inch, 8-inch sections, and then whitewashed them, and now I'm hanging them in kind of serpentine arrangements from the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm going to put attached slinkies to them. So they're all at different levels. Mm-hmm. But I'll have, six at one level, and then above them there are like three, and then above them are like two or whatever. And then I'm going to take the slinkies and kind of freeze them going down the stairs. You know, that cool kind of fan.
Slinky art.
Yeah, slinky art.
Yes.
pretty basic materials, you know, just standard 2x4s and, yeah, just plastic slinkies.
Wow.
And then, yeah, just moving them around, and it's been really interesting to watch them. Sorry?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought I heard something. Good. No, it's been interesting for me because, you know, I conceived of it and I was like, oh, this will be a very minimalist piece for me because I normally, you know, do paper cuts.
Right.
Or that installation that you helped me with at the launch pad a couple years ago.
That's right.
You know, had lots of elements. That one, yeah. And so this one I thought was going to be really simple. I just bought my 2x4s and immediately realized how deep I was in. I've not really done much woodworking. And so thankfully, I have a wonderful brother-in-law who has a lot of power tools.
Perfect.
And he was hugely helpful. Hank Myers, he's a local boy.
Oh, good. Shout out.
Yeah. And so I, at some points we had two saws running and two sanders running. And, so what I'd do is I'd cut them down and then sand them to try to, if you think about a 2x4, how it has the rounded edges.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Which I really love that. You know, that kind of softness that, exists in what we think of as more, or what I think of as more, you know, utilitarian, industrial stuff, but to the, and I'm sure any construction worker would be able to tell me why they're rounded. But for me, I think that they're just, it's a lovely moment, that just exists in this world. And so I carried that through to the ends of the pieces. And so tried to round them all soft so that there are no like hard edges to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I hang them up and it's really fascinating to me to watch them go because I'm also getting a physics lesson. You know, if one's hanging by itself, it will just spin and spin and spin.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you take another block and put it next to it, hang it close enough so that they're pushing up against each other, they both settle and become very still.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add a third one in and that creates a little chaos. But then, you know, if you get it in the right spot, if you have it at the right angle, then that'll settle too. And so it's like kind of it's a slow, quiet piece putting it together where I'm used to a bit more elbow grease going in.
Mm-hmm. And these are just
to the actual installation.
And these are just screwed right into the wall. Is that what you're saying? And
yeah, up into the ceiling. Yeah.
Into the ceiling. Sorry. Yeah. And
yeah.
And it's just one kind of giant piece that we'll see at the art base?
Yeah, so it's one piece at the art base, but it's one piece comprised of like
many
five little sections.
It's
designed so that people can like walk through it and under it and around it. That's one thing I just love about installations in general is that you know, we get to such a blindness to our regular life, like everything's relatively predictable, you know, like buildings are predictable, chairs and tables are predictable. But then if you know, put them in an installation, put them in somebody's hands and change them, it can completely change how it feels to be alive and like what it feels like to occupy a space. And like, and that's really the love of installations that I have.
It's
just the all-encompassing nature of them.
That's so cool. That's such a cool idea of just turning things on their head and trying to make things fresh and new again for, you know, the tired eye that kind of sees, you know,
totally,
everything
yeah.
how they are. But wow.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Tell me how you kind of got on this journey, because when I first met you years ago, actually at the Redstone Labor Day art show, you were doing like, you know, cut paper art and and then you evolved into the show that you had the launch pad a few years ago with giant foam insulation boards that were kind of making a cavern and you'd kind of peek into where the light comes in. And
That was the name of it, Where the Light Gets In.
Yes, I thought it was. and now you're doing this other installation at the art base with wood and slinkies. Tell me about... it sounds like you just, like me, I guess, as an artist, you get bored with the status quo.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to pigeonhole myself necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think that I love big. I love you know, I love that feeling of just, you know, the whole space being taken over. And so really it's, I kind of feel like I'm a goldfish. So like my studio is really small. Uh-huh. And so when I'm in my little studio, I do really small pieces. Uh-huh. But then when I get into bigger spaces, then my art gets big.
Oh, that makes
just
sense.
Just like a little baby goldfish.
Yeah. The fish needs
and
a bigger pond.
So like whenever I can, I just, you know, when I would like to do installations all the time, mm-hmm. but it's kind of hard to find the space and the time to do it. Mm-hmm. I like to, because usually you get the installation, or you are told that you have an installation space, you know, 18 months ahead of time, mm-hmm. and I just panic for 18 months, and then buckle down and just bust out for 2 months or so.
That sounds like the artist's life right there.
Yeah, totally.
I can definitely relate to that. And then how did you make the jump from doing the cut paper work? And maybe you can describe that to folks who aren't familiar. That's all over your website, too. That's what I was looking at before I came over here.
It's actually more of a leap from installation. So in college, I did a lot of installation work. When, okay. you know, you have the time and the space to do it. Most of my work was either performative work.
Okay.
Or well, performative combined with installation, like kind of living installation.
Yeah.
And then a lot of string installations. I really love how string works with itself. There's a lot of string in this piece. You know, I love phone lines that go over, you know, that cut across landscapes, and just mm-hmm. I love there's something about that just really, you know, tickles me. Huh. And so I did that a lot, and then, you know, graduated and, you know, got a job and was working like 80 hours a week, 60 hours a week, just being crazy and not doing any art at all. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even own art supplies. And then one day after work, I like was just so fried, and I had a drawing in my a drawing of mine in my house and a box cutter, and I just started cutting it up. Huh. And I say that paper cutting kind of forced its way through my fingers. I don't think of myself as particularly patient or detail oriented or anything along those lines.
And you can tell when you look at that work, you must have so much focus.
Yeah. I think it might be more compulsion than.
Okay.
but yeah, it really just, it came and, you know, the next day I went and bought a X-Acto knife, and within like two pieces, I was doing them fully colored. And within 6 months, I quit my job just started doing that. Mm. And did that for a while.
And for folks that aren't familiar, could you just describe what they look like? I feel like they're kind of like stained glass, but in paper.
Yeah, people have said that. People have said quilting.
Oh, yeah.
What it is, so I start with one piece of paper, and I cut it into a lace, and, you know, it depicts something, usually landscapes.
When you're cutting out the shapes, you're like leaving a line as if you had drawn it, but it's just like one continuous piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah. So I draw the drawing on the back in reverse before, because, mm-hmm. you know, you flip it over. And then when I cut, I just cut away everything except the pencil on the back.
Right. Wow.
And so then you have an image, a lacy image, and then I take little pieces of paper and glue them to the lace to mm-hmm. color it.
Nice.
People might have seen my work. I think the most common place it's seen is it's the arts card for Alpine Bank.
Oh, correct. So yep. I've seen that.
That's often where people have seen it. But yeah. So that's that. And yeah, so installations have always been kind of my heart, and paper was more of a outgrowth of that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so just whenever I can get back to installation, I do.
Yeah. And you've got some family, like, art roots as well. Did you grow up making art when you were young?
Yeah. Yeah, so my mother's the local landscape artist, Mary Noon, mm-hmm. and actually we joke, I'm fourth generation artist and my sister's fourth generation lawyer, so we had no choice.
And then did you grow up like painting like your mom, or how did that kind of enter your life?
A bit. My mother's self-taught, and so she doesn't get how to teach painting, really. Mm-hmm. So she would just, you know, we'd be out with her and, you know, have canvas or whatever and be allowed to paint. But I never really got painting. I did a lot of painting in college. I never got it. Like, and that's why paper cutting was such a revelation for me, because I always painted, mm-hmm. but I kind of hated it. But I felt like I had the urge to create and make images and create art. But there was always something that was just kind of driving me crazy about painting. And then when I started paper cutting, I was like, oh, well, there it is. What I wanted to do this whole time. Like,
that's
what
so
am I
cool.
talking about?
Wow. Isn't that cool that there's so many different media? And I think, you know, maybe if you grew up with little watercolor set, maybe that wasn't your thing. But, you know, sculpting or paper cuts, that's there's so many options.
Well, and also I feel like there's such pressure to, like, have a style and have, like, a signature look mm-hmm. that people really, like, sense themselves in. And you know, if I had followed my art professor's advice to, you know, figure out a style and lock it in with painting, then I would have never, ever found paper cutting.
I remember that talk as well in college.
They always, and like, you know, when you find something that really, you know, vibes with your way of creating, the style is inherent. Like, you don't have to, like, strong arm yourself into being,
exactly.
like, having a certain style. It just will be.
Yep.
If you just let it.
Yep.
And, you know, keep an open mind and keep looking and keep trying. And,
You hear that, everyone? If you're not good at something right now, just switch it up. Just
try something new.
Exactly. There's nothing.
It's the medium, not you.
There we go. Yeah, that's awesome. So for this show at the Art Base, what's the title again for this show?
It's called The Balance.
Awesome.
And the opening is on Friday from 5 to 7.
How long is the show up for?
It's up for a month. I think it's up until the 3rd.
Perfect.
Of October. Nice long show.
And if you haven't been to the Art Base, it's got a new location, right?
Yeah, it does. It's a beautiful new spot.
Right downtown.
Next to Cafe Bernard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope people will get inspired to go check out some art tonight. Anything else you want folks to know about before they come see your work? Performance art? Maybe during the installation art?
I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Life is a performance, so it could
If somebody knocks into one, it'll be performance art. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Valley. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you, Brian. I'm honored.
You're tuned into Katie and Kay. Express yourself. The time is 4:20 and 40 seconds. Next up, the 25th annual Redstone Labor Day Art Show kicks off tonight through the weekend and honors artists in the Crystal River Valley, both past and present. And Amy Kimberly, executive director of Carbondale Arts, sat down with Kathy Montgomery, the chair of the Redstone Labor Day Art Show. Here's an interview they just had recently.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
It's so great to have you here with us. I know this is a busy, busy time as we enter the 25th annual Redstone Art Show. And it is part of the Redstone Art Foundation, which has been around as long, or?
Yes, it's been around that long.
Wow. That's awesome. That's fabulous. And Redstone, I know that this show, for a lot of artists for many years, is a very big show for people. I mean, they do really well. People really come and support artists.
Yes, we have about 30 artists this year, and most of them are local to this region. A few from the Front Range, but not too many.
Was that intentional for this year?
No, it's intentional every year. We want to give priority to our local artists. We really want to support artists in our two valleys.
That's fabulous, because I did not realize that. I thought maybe just for the 25th year you were celebrating local artists. So that's wonderful. And you get a lot of artists that we don't see everywhere else all the time, which is also a reason I love going there, because I often discover artists that have been here forever that I maybe have not, you know, met or known about.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk just about the basics of the art show. It opens
this Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. It's our reception, and we're going to be having a toast to our 25th anniversary, serving a cake and some other little goodies. And it's a nice welcoming, kind of a big Redstone Town party is what it usually turns out to be, but everybody is welcome.
Nice. And then from there it goes, it's open 10 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday, and then 10 to 4 on Monday.
That's right.
Wonderful. And within all of these 35 artists, you also have workshops going on that
yes,
people can
we have quite a few demonstrations and workshops and even just lectures throughout the 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And come on by, and there's probably something going on during the day when it's mostly like 10:30 or 11 to 1 or 2 in the afternoon is when most of the workshops are scheduled.
So I know that there is that big tent that lives behind the Redstone Inn.
That's right. This year, everything is a bit different for us, partly due to COVID, but we are using the large wedding tent in the back of the Redstone Inn, as well as a smaller rented tent in the front. So we've spread out our artists a little bit more. We think it's safer, better ventilation, and just more room to spread out.
Wow, that's wonderful. And that is what's different from, like, let's say, Mount Fair. We make those artists bring their own tents, but you guys provide the coverage,
right,
and they set up within
that. And what's
that.
Even better is a couple years ago, Bob and Joyce Rankin donated a very nice amount to Redstone Art Foundation, and that enabled us to buy professional display panels. So we have pro panels for our artists.
Oh, wow.
And so we've really upgraded things this year.
That's
quite
fabulous.
A bit.
Where do you store those pro panels?
We pay a neighbor to store them in his barn.
Okay, good, because we have some pro panels too, and we're always trying to figure
right.
out where to put them. So.
Right.
That's fabulous.
One more thing about the art show is 30% of the proceeds of the art sales go to the Redstone Art Foundation, and with that we offer scholarships to seniors at Roaring Fork High School who are planning to go on to study art in college or another kind of school. And if they apply and we look at their artwork and we make decisions about scholarships, and I think over the 25 years, we've given out over $52,000.
That's
so we're pretty proud of that.
You should be. You should be. And yeah, I was looking up the Redstone Art Foundation. Your mission is to promote and encourage the arts in the Crystal River Valley, promote artists' workshops and shows, including this Labor Day art show, and then award the scholarships. So
right.
It seems like even through these crazy times, you have been able to do it, though you last year did not have the art show.
That's right. It was just too dangerous COVID-wise, but we took the time to upgrade our website and to promote some new activities for artists. We did a holiday show in early December, which was very popular.
I was there.
All done outside on the boulevard and more, you know, maybe leaning more toward crafts, but it was great for Christmas shopping. And then we did a plein air show in over Memorial Weekend, and that was pretty well attended and successful. So
yeah,
we're happy with what we've been doing.
We were lucky we got to display some of the artists' work at the launch pad from the plein air. And it really does feel like Redstone is becoming a stronger and stronger hub for the arts. More and more young people and artists are moving there because they're priced out of this valley.
Right.
And the Redstone General Stores really got a new life. You know, a lot seems to be happening there. I went to the Christmas show. You had the most beautiful weather.
We did. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And it was great fun. Do you think you might have that again this
year?
Yes,
I'm quite sure we're going to do the holiday show again. And, you know, that was something we mainly did for artists and the community. We didn't do it to promote ourselves or to make money, but it was really well received.
Oh, great. Well, we loved it. I loved it. So let's talk a minute about some of the workshops that will be happening. And before we even delve into that, are the workshops, so you have the two tents, and then where are you doing the workshops?
The workshops are in smaller tents on the front yard of the inn. And
really, they're more demonstrations for the
demonstrations
most part. I'm calling them
mostly,
workshops, but,
yes.
Yeah.
Right. We have woodworking demonstrations, painting demonstrations, watercolor. We have a children's workshop at 3:30 on Sunday, September 5th. And just all kinds of things
going on every day. Some of the artists that will be doing these demonstrations are really well known. Connie Hendricks, watercolor demonstration.
Yes.
I mean, Connie's just a hoot anyway.
Yes.
So I am sure if you go to Connie's watercolor demonstration at 1 o'clock on Sunday,
right,
you're going to be entertained.
Yes.
Michael Kinsley on Saturday at 2:15, a discussion on painting. Michael's lots of fun to talk with. He goes all over the place. Mark Mace, another incredible plein air painter.
Yes.
Whose paintings have been around the valley for a while. He's doing a painting demonstration. And also, he's doing a painting workshop on Monday, the 6th.
Yes.
So there's lots to kind of fill your mind with as well as visually
And all of that is free. There's no charge for any of this. So
that's great. Well, it's really exciting. We're happy to have the Redstone Art Show back. It's, 25 years is a long time.
Yes.
And I think it marks Labor Day weekend for many people in this valley.
Right. It's a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I wanted to mention is that we had two scholarship winners this year from Roaring Fork High School.
Nice.
And we're hoping to display some of their work as well. And that is Danny Carino and Letty Crownheart.
Oh, how exciting. That's really great. And so that's another benefit maybe with the scholarships. Sometimes you try to encourage them to pursue art in
a certain way. We try to showcase their art as well. But often kids are off to college, so we don't we're not able to snag them, but this we're hoping this year we get them both.
Well, most importantly, where can people find out all the information about the art show and the Art Foundation?
Yes, we have a website. It's redstoneartfoundation.com, I'm not sure, .org maybe. Yes, .org.
Yeah, redstoneartfoundation.org. And you can also just Google in Redstone Art Show, and it comes up right away because that's what I did.
Okay, so great.
but more so, it's important that people stay involved all year long. And I think sometimes people don't realize that Redstone is a great place to show your art and to participate in art. And it doesn't stop, or it isn't only this weekend. It is going all year round.
Another thing that we've been doing is trips to museums locally and to Denver that we've organized. And also, I think we most recently did a trip to the Marble Symposium.
Nice.
And I think about 15 people got to hear from the original director about how it developed and just all kinds of ins and outs about the symposium. And we've gotten really good feedback about that.
Well, we're really excited about what's going on in Redstone. And here, the Carbondale Creative District, I always say, Redstone and Marble are our satellite creative districts just down the road. We feel very aligned with what you guys are doing. We try to promote it as much as possible because we love what's going on down there, and I think it's just going to keep growing. So good work, and have a fabulous weekend.
Well, thank you.
Sat in the corner, you could pass for dead. Get up on the floor, shake your head. Everybody moving, everybody moving. If you'd rather be home, you can leave right now. This is a party, no frowns allowed. Everybody moving, everybody moving. Bump and grind, have a good time. Free yourself.
All right. Thanks, Amy and Kathy, for the update on the Redstone Labor Day Art Show. That's going to be exciting. There's so much happening. So Redstone, Basalt, Carbondale, you can't go wrong this weekend. And guess what, everybody? I'm joined in the studio live by some fun people. We've got the whole mural team. Well, part of the mural team. That is coming to Carbondale, and yay. It's Lindsay. Are you having some problems with your mic?
I just don't have a light on.
Oh, I can hear you though.
I can hear
you
too. We're good.
Cool.
Hello.
So, we've got a community mural coming to Carbondale. I don't know if people know about this, even though they've had plenty of time to learn. This was proposed like 2 years ago through Carbondale Arts and the Creative District. Mural Express program. And so the original team was, you know, Gail Embry proposed this mural with myself and Vanessa Porras and Steve Cohane. And we put a survey out to the community, and you all responded with all your favorite animals and plants and things you'd like to see on a mural. And we took that information and put it into a design. And then COVID hit, so it's a delay. But now we've got some new fresh blood coming up hot on the mural. And why don't you guys just go around and introduce yourselves real quick so people can get to know the mural team.
Sure. Hey, everybody. My name's Gabriella. Some of you know me around town. Yeah, I am super excited and super honored to have been asked to join with this community. And yeah, I'm from Carbondale. Woohoo!
Carbondale artist.
Great. I'm Sally Nicholson, and I am not I am from Carbondale, Mid Valley, Elgibel. And it is a wonderful thing to be part of this group. We're having so much fun. It's ridiculous. And long may it last.
If you can put the microphone right up to your face, then we can all hear you really good.
Okay.
And who's the third person behind the curtain?
This is Lindsay, and I've got the microphone right up to my face.
Yes, I can hear you so well.
And I'm one of the artists who's been called in, like these two lovely ladies, to help get this stuff done, paint it, and we've really had a good time. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the mural is going to be over on 4th Street, kind of across from the launch pad. There's a brick building that's owned by CenturyLink. And we haven't been allowed to paint on the wall, which is one reason it's taken a little longer to get it ready. And we've all been hanging out at Gail Embry's house in her garage painting on panels.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail, if you're listening.
She's listening. We love you.
But the good news is, you know, believe it or not, I've never painted a mural in my life. So I'm getting some good learning curve.
Well, it seems like you've done it before, Brian.
Well,
you've painted.
You're natural. Geez.
I've painted stuff, but not like this.
You're okay. You're kind of.
Just say how it is. Good.
Let me be an honest.
But the good news is that the three of you have had mural experience, and I wonder if you could just say, like, what kind of stuff have you been doing? I know, Gabriella, you're in the middle of at least two projects right now.
Ooh, yeah, I guess I can go first. Well, I know Lindsay and I definitely last year during a pandemic, we did the barriers up in Basalt.
Oh, that's right.
And they are up again this year. And so if Surprise. You want to go check them out, yeah, go check them out. And then I also restored the Latinx Folklorico mural up on 8th Street there.
That's right, yeah.
So it was all blue, but now it's all colorful.
On the art walk. Nice.
Yeah, thank you. And then there's another mural that I'm currently working on right now. It's a bird mural, and I paired up with the Audubon Society to create awareness for our natural wildlife. And that's going to be at the 3rd Street Center, and that's going to be a very fun project as well. I'm inviting the community this week as well. But it's another mural to come to and paint, so it's always good stuff. So, yeah, and then, you know, I do other things on the side, but I'm very happy to have this mural experience and contribute to this one.
Yeah.
It's going to be super exciting.
It's been amazing. And that mural at 3rd Street's by Lift Up?
Yes, by the Lift Up door. You'll see it right when you get into the parking lot. You can't miss it. Right now, it's a big white square.
Okay.
It's been primed, guys. It's ready to go this weekend.
Oh, exciting.
We'll be there.
So many murals popping up. Sally.
Yeah. Well, I had a mural business back in Los Angeles back in the 90s and the early noughties, and thought I'd hung up my mural paintbrushes with another business that I had, and found myself volunteering for this. And I'm so glad I have, because it's been the most fun experience and brought back the good side of doing this. You know, I don't have the business responsibilities and the big decisions. I just show up and paint and hang out and have good gossip and coffee with the crew. And so it's really been fun, and to remember all of that. My current studio is teeny weeny, so to be working really big is fun. And it's good to be part of the crew.
What kind of murals did you do in LA? What was that like?
I did a few for the county, I guess it was, beautification they had for underprivileged schools, and then I did a lot of work for interior designers and architects, so it would be what the client wanted.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That's usually the case.
Yeah, I occasionally got to say no. Bad taste.
Yeah.
There's a
the
lot
good
of
news
bad
is in this case, the client is the whole community, which includes us.
Yeah.
So we get to kind of decide what we want as well. Lindsay Jones, let's
hello
hear
again.
Tell us about your mural expertise and experience.
Well, mostly prior to last year, I had just done murals within my fine art practice. So it was really just in like installations within a gallery that was incorporated in my fine art. And then last year, the pandemic hit, and I'm a freelance illustrator, designer, animator, and all my work went away. But for some reason, mural opportunities popped up, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're outside. We don't have to deal with people. And I did a couple last year, including traveling to Los Angeles to do some in private residences. I did the barriers with Gabriella last summer, and I've done one at Board by Design, which is Brad Reed Nelson. Some of you probably know that crazy guy. he's got a private mural on this awesome metal fabrication shop that they have up. It's in Thunder River on their shop property. That was difficult. Oh, my gosh. Corrugated metal. Try to draw a nice arcing line on that.
It's like worse than brick.
Worse than brick, yeah. For sure. Worse than these beautiful aluminum panels we've been using, which have been a dream, actually.
Right.
Yeah, we primed them and sanded them and made them real nice.
And luckily, we've got Michael Stout on our team as well, who's just recently taken over at Carbondale Arts and education as an education director. He's actually out on 4th Street right now making posters. But he's got a lot of mural background as well from his history in the Midwest. He was on actually on the committee that got to choose some of these projects. So he's been jumping into action, as well as Sean Jeffries over at Thunder River Theater, cutting the panels down, just having a space to do that. And then Michael's already been putting up some framing on the brick wall. So if you're over on 4th and Main, go check out the wall and you'll see some little framing bits that I got to help him today a little bit.
Nice.
That's what the panels will be attached to. And I'm talking a lot, so I wonder if one of you would be willing to describe the mural and what it looks like. There's an upper section and a lower section.
I'll describe the upper section.
Yes.
Nice. Which we have now finished, thank goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The upper section is long and narrow, and it's a depiction of the local mountains and a sky transitioning from dark to light, rainbows and rain and clouds and birds and really good stuff, but different interpretations of the mountains and surrounding hillside. So
kind of like it has multiple seasons almost.
It does.
Multiple seasons,
multiple times a day.
Moon phases.
Beautiful herons.
Oh yeah, beautiful moons.
Oh, the moons, yep. They're pretty great.
And we decided to, as a mural painting team, to kind of tackle that first because those are going to be installed really high up on the wall, and we didn't want to have to make the community get up on rickety ladders. And
they are 56 feet long, you guys.
56-foot long panels.
Yeah, they're pretty
long. Yeah. So that's what we've been kind of working on the past week and a half, 2 weeks together. And so that's going to be installed probably after the lower panels. And who wants to talk about what those look like?
Lower panels, sure. So those are the panels that we are going to invite the community to come and paint with us on September 10th and September 11th.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday.
The time's 9 to 2 p.m., I believe.
I think it's 10 to 2.
10 to 2 p.m. Oh, yeah, we're there at 9. But, yeah, come community. Los Latinos también, la comunidad latina, to come and paint with us, para pintar con nosotros on the 10th and the 11th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And yeah, these bottom panels basically have a lot of the answers that were provided by the surveys. We got some large dandelions, we got some beavers and
marmots. I don't think they're beavers. Marmots. They're
That's
Gail's favorite.
That's true.
They are marmots.
That's true. Bears.
Bears.
Yeah. What else?
An awesome Dia de los Muertos.
Elk scene. Tie-dye shirt.
There's a little bit of everything in this thing.
It's fun.
That's
the
thing about that survey. Like, everyone put everything in.
That's community for you.
Oh, man. It was really hard to narrow down.
Something for everybody in there.
You know, one thing about that is I was a little worried when I first saw it. I was like, oh, my God. We are putting everything, including the kitchen sink, into this mural.
Oh, the kitchen sink.
But we should add the kitchen sink, actually. We could put some dishes in it, too. A big pile of dirty dishes.
We work too much to wash dishes.
But I've been really impressed working with everyone so far, this team that's sitting right here, and how we've really made it all so cohesive, and it's really beautiful. Like the multiple styles that we each have is being merged well. I think we've all had a really open mind and just a very collaborative approach to the whole thing. So, you know, I think it's really gonna be awesome. And I just at first I didn't know what to expect, and as it's come along, it's like, oh, this is so great, because you see little pieces here and there where you're like, I love this section. I love that section. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everyone can help join in that.
And I think also we've been collaborating on how to sort of tweak it as we go along, which is nice. You know, someone says, this isn't quite working. Let's figure out how to improve. And
Flexibility is key.
And we've set aside our egos.
Yeah, and shout out to Vanessa and Christy also, who are a part of our team. They're awesome as well.
Yeah.
They've been really crucial to just the whole flow of the team. Yeah, I think we all work well together, and this collaboration just brings so much inspiration, I feel, to me. Mm-hmm. So it's been really awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Gail, the organizer extraordinaire.
She's our director. She's a filmmaker, so she's been excellent.
Keeping us in line. I love it.
Keeping us scheduled and in line and on target.
And the schedule's like half the battle with a team of about six or seven people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's see. If you go by 4th Street, you'll start to see next week the panels start to slowly go up. And next Friday and Saturday, as Gabriella was saying, from 10 to 2, we will accept your help.
So there's a lengthy application process.
Oh, yes.
Come
lots
early and get your fingerprints done. And
we want to see a portfolio sample. Just
we need
kidding.
Samples of your hair for genetic testing.
Wow. No, this will be fun, though. Community murals, I think that's what this
it's
is
not
all
scary,
about.
Guys.
It's not just like a community of six or seven artists, but if you got to be part of the survey, you can, you know, why not come on and paint the hummingbird that you suggested or the fox that you suggested.
Totally. And then young artists as well should come and learn from us, you know, ask us questions. It's a great time to really get your repertoire expanded with many artists in one room or one place. So, definitely come by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So something for everyone. If you can't paint plants, you can paint animals or people or the sky or some little bugs. I'm sure we'll have all kinds of things. So,
oh, yeah, and we have flowers. The dandelion, too, that we're going to have everyone sign.
That's true. At the very end, on the far right, we're hoping to fabricate a cutout dandelion flower that everyone who participates can sign. So we have a record of all the community members that helped with the mural.
Yes, please come.
Also, even if you think you can't paint, there's something for you.
Right.
We can just make you paint. It'll be like a paint by numbers. So
it will be. But you can also, you know, if you're a musician, come serenade the group.
Yes.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Come entertain us. bring us a freshly baked apple pie.
Hey.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm open to that.
Brian's not shy.
We're on the radio. We're live on the radio.
Yeah.
All kinds of people are listening right now.
Okay, what are our other requests? I love food.
I don't know, coffee, muffins.
Starving artist, you know. Starving.
Yeah, that's true.
Lasagna.
It's going to be so fun, you guys. Thanks for coming today and getting us psyched up to paint the mural.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Definitely. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm going to play some music now because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Look at that, everyone. The sun just came out. The rain is going by. That means there might be a rainbow just in time for a certain pride parade that will be starting to set up in about 20 minutes or so out here on 2nd and Main. I want to thank everyone on today's program, all the muralists and all the artists. There's so much else going on, though, you guys. If you're out and about in Carbondale, no shortage of things. The Clay Center here in Carbondale hosts an opening reception tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. for Clay National 15, the narrative figure. Jurors Kyle and Kelly Phelps, who just wrapped up their show Race, Class, and the Blue Collar, are looking to openly represent individual expression through a variety of topics amongst contemporary figurative ceramics. Excuse me. And the exhibition continues through September 25th, and you can find more at carbondaleclay.org. That's tonight, 6 to 8. Carbondale Arts is open late till 7 tonight and continues its two current shows. In the first room is The Plants We Live With by traditional photographer Forrest Zerbe, who lives in Grand Junction. And in the other room, Small Glimpses Many Times, Mount Sopras Edition by installation and mixed media artist Nancy Lovendahl, who lives in Old Snowmass. Both shows are up through next Friday, so 1 week to see those shows. Learn more at carbondalearts.com. Also tonight, Steve's Guitars presents Around the World with solo violinist Minsa Wu starting at 7:30 p.m. It's live at Steve's and live streamed on grassrootstv.org. Feel the soul, the freedom, and the joy in our heart as we listen to the Jewish prayer, the Taiwanese lament, the Finnish folk songs, and travel through Ireland, 16th century Bohemian Austria, and Sweden. This is exclusively curated for First Friday at Steve's Guitars with Minsa Wu. Also, don't miss a dance performance presented by Dance Initiative this Saturday. That's tomorrow night, September 4th, at the Launch Pad by Kazuna Dance, the resident artist this week. Tickets and seating is limited, so go online to danceinitiative.org. Doors open at 6:30, performance at 7:30. There's also, if you are a Saturday morning person, an all-levels community dance workshop in the morning from 10 o'clock with the founder of Kazuna Dance, Cameron McKinney. So sign up and register or learn more at danceinitiative.org for that. Finally, there are several upcoming events open to the public at the Aspen Space Station. If you haven't been up to the Aspen Space Station, next week is really good timing because they've got so much happening. Tuesday through Thursday evenings, they've got cool stuff you could do with $1 billion instead of going to space, the pleasures of gravity, throwing knives and slack lines, and then uncanned oxygen, know your trees with ACES. That's Aspen Center for Environmental Science, I think. More at aspenspace.org. So we're going to close out the show, as we always do, with our favorite Express Yourself theme song. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in for another week of Express Yourself. Stay tuned for local and national news. And here we go. See you next week, everybody.
Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do.